News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 26th of June, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, and everything else in between. We're just a little out of breath here trying to get in and set up on time. We're going to start with the news, and since the only person who's ready is Steve, we'll start with Steve.
Yes, it was a very good week for Apple. They won four prizes, two gold, one silver, and one bronze, at the 2004 International Industrial Design Excellence Awards, sponsored by Business Week. They got a gold award for their iPod Mini in consumer products, the G5 for computer equipment, a silver for the iSight under business and industrial, and a bronze for their wireless computer. Wireless keyboard. You know. It's kind of neat to have the wireless keyboard and mouse without even a an antenna sticking out of it. They're using Bluetooth for their wireless, and the antennas are inside, so you don't have any antenna dangling. And Apple also updated their remote desktop utility, which is used for IT management and screen sharing in education. A lot of nifty new features, and you can check out that on their website.
Bluetooth is also, Logitech is another one that just teamed up with Bluetooth technology, that they're coming out with a keyboard, mouse, and speakers.
Yep.
That are all doing it through this wireless technology. And it's pretty slick, as the before, as probably with the Max 2, you always had to have that sensor right there, yep, near the mouse.
Well, the early IR ones were line of sight. You needed, yes, the sensor immediately. Then they went to radio so you could have a little off-center.
Right.
But it's nice now with Bluetooth. You don't need any wires or any receiver.
Remember, right, on the old PC Junior?
Sure.
With the chiclet keyboard. You could, sure, be across the street. I used to sit in my...
Chuck Gerhardt's, may rest in peace, was in the standing in the road in the middle of Main Street.
It's doing
working a machine in our show window, yeah.
Well, one night, because I had a PC Junior, I sat back over on the couch, and I could see the screen good enough. I'm sitting there, my wife comes in.
Well, that's what all their marketing said.
Working on the computer. How can you be working on it? Because I was supposed to be doing homework.
Right, right,
because I was writing a program. And she goes, wait a minute, how can you be working on homework sitting here? And I showed her, and she's watching the screen. She goes, cool.
Yeah, their whole ad campaign was passing the keyboard down the couch to the whole family,
right,
without realizing that the angle of reception didn't really fit the whole length of the couch.
Now, believe me, it was a pretty good angle of reception. Wasn't there something else they gave you about a...
Oh, a second page.
There you go.
Apple released, this was a couple weeks ago, June 7th, the latest security update. About once a month, Apple's releasing security updates for OS X2 and X3, fixing some of the vulnerabilities it finds in the Unix layer. But it's not as earth-shattering as Windows updates that come out every couple of days or so.
You're right.
Most of the vulnerabilities involve getting into trusted sites, and one of the big ones was that Mac web browsers will when you download a file, they'll automatically decompress the file for you and then run the installer, because you're probably downloading something you want to install.
Right.
So it's possible for someone to exploit that feature and be able to download and install a virus. There aren't any that do that, but this is a possibility, so Apple is patching against possibilities.
Right,
on
and that's
Windows,
good. It's just a reminder, right, for everybody to make sure they've done those patches.
Yeah,
because, we always get people gloating, well, we don't have to do that. Well, yeah, actually you do.
Right, what's interesting is all the Apple updates are patching possible holes.
Nobody's attacking the Mac.
No one's exploited yet.
Aware that they need to make sure they do that.
Yeah, on the Windows front, there was another huge one that came out this week that Microsoft patched in April, and no one installed the patches.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little later. Go ahead.
Yeah, as all you folks know, there was another big web attack. It was literally a Russian group. They're virus writers, and they were writing this code that would go out and attach itself to other famous websites. And what they were doing was then trying to infect your machine to spread stuff out and literally steal your credit card information and bank information, you know, when you're going to these popular sites. And I think I saw one of them was like eCost and a number of different ones out there that they put this code, but they've more or less shut that site right on down and put an end to them. But, you know, it's just a matter of time. They're just going to find another way unless they can actually nail these guys and get them. But that's the whole problem.
That was...
A lot of these go by fictitious names and then literally trying to, you know, I mean, they can sit there and say a point, but that's usually some ghost point.
Right.
They're just using that as a launch site. You're never, unless you can get them right at the computer, they're not going to get these guys.
Well, the important thing here is, as Steve said, this was a patch that came out a month or two ago.
Yep.
And the problem is this. There are two levels of system administration. There are people who do it for a living, like, oh, me.
Yep.
And then there are people who don't do it at all. And the problem is lots and lots of, well, kids and adults are running Microsoft web servers and either don't care to patch them or don't even know they're running them. For example, certain versions of the Visual Basic compiler and... what's their web?
Internet, IIS.
No. The program.
Front page.
Yeah,
you load a web browser, and it forces you to turn on a web server. Or not, a web editor forces you to turn on the web server.
Right, yeah. And then it doesn't turn it off again, and so you're running a web server in the background, so you naturally don't patch it. It's not your fault. You don't even know it's there. And the next thing you know, you're infected.
Yeah.
But even the big sites that are being run by what you would assume are full-time professional system administrators are not being patched, and that's what's causing this. You know, everybody well, it's Microsoft. Well, whatever you think about Microsoft, the reality is they put out the patch.
Yes.
That's as far as they can go.
Well, the problem...
And then with XP, though, you even get a reminder.
Right.
I mean, there's always a
reminder. If you're running XP as your server, you're an idiot. But
no,
even under 2000, under 2000, you get...
If they're running XP and then using front page as the server...
Right.
And on the other half, though, IT managers don't want to have to reboot their server. It's working fine. I don't want to take everything down and reboot it and have it not work when it comes back up again.
If you're a real IT person, then you have a test server.
Yeah.
You download the... This is called patch management. You download the patch, you install it on the test server, you test the living heck right out of it, and when you know it's right, you put it on the main server. But you don't leave the main server vulnerable. You just don't do it.
Yep.
It's just, it makes me crazy.
Yeah, it's just, they're, you know, playing Russian.
You know, God forbid I do not want to be the Microsoft apologist on this panel. But it is not their fault if people don't put up the patches.
You put it up there and they don't bother to take advantage of it. I don't feel sorry for them.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean... It's like the old Pram filter commercial. You can pay me now or pay me later.
Yep. Well, if you're an AOL user, I have a little bad news for you. An employee of AOL was arrested this week for stealing user screen names and selling them to a spam operation. AOL says it discovered the thefts and passed the information on to federal law enforcement agencies, which led to the arrest. AOL has fired the employee and is committed to his full prosecution. Please be aware, no credit card information and no password information was compromised. Please understand that. There have been rumors going around that AOL sold their credit cards or some silly thing. No credit card information, no password information, just email addresses, which is, of course, bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
The guy received $100,000 for selling the names. Oh, and by the way, he sold 92 million names.
That's a tenth of a penny apiece.
Yeah. He didn't
idiot.
Get much for him, exactly.
But he's going to pay now.
Exactly. Why didn't he just say, you know, I'll give you $1 million here for $100,000. Give me another $100,000. I'll give you another $1 million. I mean, he could have sold them for something.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I would guess that's pretty much their entire user base.
I would suspect a huge piece of it anyway.
I thought they only admitted the 40 million users.
Right.
Maybe they're not counting the 7 screen names per user.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but there were two guys who did it. The AOL employee and they face up to 5 years in jail, heavy fines if they're convicted. That's part of the CAN Spam Act, which is a pile of trash. But that's okay as long as it works, I guess.
And the problem is it isn't working. There's already a spammer who is suing AOL, Time Warner, Earthlink, the big ISPs, for restraint of trade and illegal business practices, because he is doing everything legally according to the law, and they are still blocking his mail. So they are preventing him from doing business.
Right,
and
because
he's
it is clearly spam.
But he's following the law.
But he's following the law.
Yeah.
And so what AOL and those people are saying is, well, it's spam. We don't want to pass it on to our users.
It's not illegal.
And,
you have to.
Right, and he's saying they have to. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes. On the law front, Orrin Hatch, America's answer to
what?
Not much.
Joseph McCarthy, is behind yet another act to be introduced next week. It's custom designed to kill peer-to-peer file sharing. You know, Kazaa and Napster and ShareZaa and Direct Connect and all of those.
And large MP3 players like at the Apple iPod.
Well, here's the deal. It's called Induce. Inducement devolves into unlawful child exploitation. Somehow he has equated passing around MP3s to child pornography.
Huh?
I'm not quite certain how that does. It's called the Induce Act. And basically what it says is that it's not only illegal to pass along MP3s or whatever, or movies, it's also illegal to create the means to pass them on, because then you're inducing people to do it.
And
because we're too stupid and sheep-like to not do
it. Give me a breaky.
And it's also illegal to encourage someone to do it.
Right, right.
So if you tell someone to go to Kazaa and download this thing, you have committed the crime.
You will have once,
right,
you
once
know,
this
yeah.
thing passes.
And
yeah.
And so we're seeing all kinds of interesting things. There was a fellow who put up a whole page that's a fake indictment that says, you know, Apple Computer is being dragged into court for creating the iPod.
And Toshiba for being the sole source of the hard drive.
Yeah.
Right?
And CNET for telling you how to do it.
For telling you how to do it, and for a couple other sites for selling you iPods. So if you buy an iPod, you are doing something illegal because you're inducing someone to create them. Steve's store sells iPods, those rotten, no-good scum suckers.
Yeah. We had a really great article in the paper last week and yeah. sold out of them on Monday.
Yeah, right? Right? So look at the number of people you induced into
yeah.
into
yeah.
So it's a very poorly worded law. It won't help anything. It will hurt a lot more than it might help. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has some great stuff on their website about it. They are sort of the electronic version of the ACLU
right.
to make sure that nothing stupid like this actually gets turned into a law.
Well, it's going to immediately. But what will happen is it'll be voted for two reasons. First, there isn't a senator on earth bright enough to read the thing. And second, well.
No, it's the truth. But it's sad that we got to make that statement.
I mean, when they passed whatchamacallit and all the senators then said, well, I never read it.
Yeah.
Patriot Act.
Yeah.
I didn't read it. I didn't read it.
Isn't that pathetic, though?
It is pathetic. Well, it's, you know, it comes down from the top. I got to say this. Our current administration is the only president we've ever had whose wife had to go on national television and assure the world the man knows how to read. And apparently it's trickled down into the entire Senate. Nobody reads anything anymore. And it makes me angry.
Vice President Cheney dropped an F-bomb on the floor of Congress
yes,
the other day.
Yes, he did.
They go, did you swear him? He goes, probably so. Do you regret it? No.
Yeah.
Why should it? I mean,
so now if the Vice President of the U.S. can say it in front of Congress.
The same day, by the way, they passed the No Swearing in Congress Act,
yeah.
by the way.
Well, the one thing, though, about our current president, though, unlike others, he tells it like it is. He's, you know.
I'm not saying anything
yeah.
against him. What
no,
I'm
I like
it's
him.
The
I love the
perception.
Man.
It's the public perception of the man. His wife had to go on television and
because
tell
so many,
him what he's doing.
So many folks are so used to so many politicians that have to sit there,
right.
you know, and
right. That's
never
what I'm saying.
You ask your question, right. they never really answer it. Bush, on the other hand, will answer it.
Right.
Tell it like it is. You don't like it? Oh, well, but he's told
well, that's
what
I'm, I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. What I'm saying is that it seems that the unwillingness to read has trickled down into the Senate.
Give me a break.
On a less controversial note, a study done in the UK has discovered that your PC is sick more often than you are. 70% of users have been infected by a virus in the past year. 42% say they found it less stressful fighting their way through rush hour traffic than finding legitimate emails among the spam in their inboxes. The average UK worker is out 5 days a week. The average PC is down because of viruses and worms 7 days a week. Or 7 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
5 days a year versus
that
7 days a year.
For business,
and that's an average, and I'd say that's a very low average.
Yeah, I know.
For computers.
It's an incredibly low average.
Yeah. I'm 7 days a month, probably.
Yeah, yeah. In some cases.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking just about desktops. It often hits mail servers and stuff, too. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and we'll be talking about some anti-spyware laws and a couple of other things.
One idiotic judge, we got to tell you about him because you won't believe what he's
believe
done.
On 1180 WHAM.
Stay tuned.
Watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. I don't know. I was waiting for somebody else to chime in. Apparently, that was all of us. We're going to get to the calls in just a half a second, but Dave's got something he'd like to read.
I have to
remind you, though, we are on a short show today. Yep. We, the four of us, wanted to make sure that we got out onto this beautiful, warm Rochester summer day, and the folks at Wham hustled themselves and managed to find a baseball game to play at 1 o'clock. So we'll be able to do that. I want to thank them publicly. So we're on a short show. Go ahead.
Boy, you really shoveled the BS pretty good. I'm glad I'm on a high chair.
See what happens on a day I don't go to market? I need to go to market more.
Yeah. Well, you've been a bachelor for the past few days.
Mm-hmm.
Family
yes,
is,
I have. My family's in Washington, D.C., having a grand old time for themselves. They had a tour of the White House. My wife liked the drapes.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Your wife? Now, what about cooking and all that stuff?
I'm a bachelor. I'm eating
pizza.
I'm eating pizza.
Pizza box.
Order, yeah.
No, I
have an old order.
I cook breakfast. I can toast a bagel with the best of them.
What else? See, we run into that at home. What else can you order besides pizza and Chinese? I want other kinds of food to come to
me
now.
There used to be a place in town that did that.
Yeah, they'd go to any restaurant and pick up. Yeah.
I don't think they're around anymore.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you know, I mean, we've been fighting, folks have been complaining about, you know, the spyware programs and everything else constantly. It's become to like your antivirus that you got to keep up on it.
In fact, I found that one I emailed you guys about, I can't get it out of a computer. SpyBot and Adaware won't remove it. Safe mode, nothing works. I finally found it's called the VX2 program. It comes with Kazaa. They named it VX2 after the nerve gas.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't get rid of it and it's going to kill your computer.
Well, anyways, just when they're just ready out in Utah to pass this anti-spam law that would literally block all the spam coming into folks out there in Utah, some brilliant judge decided to put a block on it, sitting there saying that, well, it's going to suppress this New York company's way of advertising and gathering information. So
right.
They put a temporary injunction to stop this person from going ahead and, like, you were saying on the other
it's
one.
It's blocking legitimate business.
Yeah, but this
annoying
is,
business, but legitimate.
But again, you know, not giving the people, it's just like, you know, they should be able to, like on the do not call list, create something like that you can't get spam. But because they're letting other idiots through, you don't have a choice.
Right.
And by judges stopping it, now you're just going to get more spam, and then people get ticked at people like Steve and I when we keep hearing, oh, there's so much junk on there, and we have to clean out hundreds of pieces of spyware.
Like it's your fault.
Every week, yeah.
And it's my fault.
Well,
I didn't have to do this before.
You cleaned it last month. Well,
yeah.
And did you turn it on since then? Well, then it's your fault.
Yeah.
I've been installing Mozilla on everyone's machine.
Yeah.
And hiding all the IE icon, so they can't push it anymore.
I usually delete them off the desktop.
Right. From the desktop. But the Windows Update requires IE, which is annoying.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
And then when you launch Windows Update, it sets your default back to IE.
Of course it does.
Even if you uncheck the thing that says IE,
right.
Make sure I'm default.
Because it's not your machine. It's Microsoft's machine.
Yeah.
Remember, you don't own Windows.
Yeah,
you just rent it. Our first caller, Richard from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. I've got a Windows 2000 system.
and I've been trying to find a reliable backup. I use a Maxtor external backup drive, and every program I've tried, and I've tried about seven or eight of them, has one failing or another. I've had them mess up my operating system, disable my network.
What have you tried?
Well, I've tried Ghost. I've tried Drive Image. Backup my PC5. NTI backup now.
Now, you're backing this up to an external hard drive?
External hard drive, 120 gig.
There's a very good product out there that I'm using right now, and it's called NovaStore Backup.
Okay.
And it will burn. You can set it to backup to another hard drive, zip drive, DVD, or CD-ROM. You can sit there and select the programs that you want to burn it to, and it'll also, like I've got a blank, you know, a CDRW in my drive, so it erases the previous days and then rewrites the current day's backup to that CD. And I have it, it's on a schedule. And you can sit there and schedule when you want this to happen. So I have it happen Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock at night, and it backs up all my information.
We've also had very good luck with Retrospect from Vance.
Well, I had Retrospect came
scheduling.
Yeah, Retrospect came with the Maxtor external drive, and that gave me a lot of problems with crashing my system on Windows 2000.
It may have been Retrospect Express and not the full Retrospect.
Well, NovaStore 7.1,
yes.
You can download it and try it free for 30 days.
Okay.
So
I'm also curious, what was your problem with Ghost? Because I use that all the time and have no problems with it.
Well, Ghost had a when I tried to go back I test it out and make an image of it, then go back and try to recreate that drive as if I had a crash, because I'd like to make sure the system's reliable. When I go back, the add remove programs function on Windows 2000 would be totally disabled. No programs would show up.
That's weird. I just did two XP machines this week, and it worked fine.
Try the NovaStore. Like I say, you can try it out for 30 days free and see if that helps your problem.
I'm also going to be going to Windows XP this week. Does that work good with XP also?
Yep.
I'll give it
a
shot.
That's what I'm using.
I'll give it a shot.
All right.
Thanks,
terrific.
Gentlemen.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
You too. Keep smiling. Our next caller, Keith from Mount Morris, New York. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
Okay, after updating my virus scan a couple of days ago, an error message came up, and now every time I start the computer, the error message comes up. I have no virus scan set on my taskbar, and the computer freezes up frequently. And
what is the error message?
The error message was AVSYNMGR has caused an error in MCSCAN32.ELL.
Okay, it's one of two things. Either it was a corrupted update, which happens once in a while, or you somewhere along the line picked up one of the viruses that disables your antivirus.
Like Kazaa.
Like Kazaa.
Or Class, rather. Class.
Class. So what you need to do first is head on over to the Security
Tango. We got to have some music when we tell folks that.
I know.
Okay,
you know,
I have your, I've read all your articles, so I have all the websites for that.
Thank you. That's at securitytango.com for those who don't know. And just go there and go to click the Let's Dance button and follow straight from the top, starting with Stinger. That's every time you load Stinger, you should download a brand new copy because they change it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is designed specifically to find those viruses that disable the antivirus. So check to see that, in fact, you run that, and that'll tell you whether or not you've got a one of those viruses.
Okay, another thing is I've been religiously doing my updates, but I realized I had forgotten to renew my McAfee, but the updates have still been coming through, so should I renew my McAfee?
Absolutely.
Right away?
Yeah.
The program updates will come through. The antivirus definition
updates.
Yeah,
the DAT files that eliminate it haven't been.
So it's very possible you picked up one of the newer ones.
When you start up McAfee, you should see in the screen there, it'll tell you how old your DAT files are. You're running version 7?
I'm on 5.21.
Oh!
They discontinued
that several years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have anything on there.
You need to do a whole lot of interesting things at this point.
Dance a tango.
First, well, here's what you need to do first. You need to renew your virus scan.
No, you can't
renew it anymore.
You've
got to
buy
a new copy. But let me suggest that you buy a clean copy at a store so you have a CD.
Okay.
Because downloading isn't going to do you any good if you've already got a virus in the machine.
Okay.
So what you want to do is buy a new copy.
I have a special going on right now.
There you go.
With McAfee Antivirus version 8.0. It's a bundled package that it's got McAfee 8.0, and it also includes Word, a CD program, and a few other things, a world book and all that for $45.
There you go. Give them a shout.
8.0.
And start there. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We're going to talk about a little bit about cheap version of Windows when we come back on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in a second, but first I want to talk a little bit about our poll. Every week we do a poll. This week's poll struck my eye. I was reading an article in one of the national magazines about this person thinks that we should have the Macintosh operating system available on Intel-based computers. Put the Finder, if that's what they still call it, on top of Linux, on top of Intel-based hardware. And I thought, well, you know what? I don't know, but let's ask the collective wisdom of the Soundbites listenership. So that's what this week's poll. Should the Mac OS be on Intel hardware? Your two choices are yes, please, and are you on drugs? So far, we're running dang close to neck and neck. And in fact, exactly neck and neck. But with 74 votes in, we're 50-50 on yes and are you yes please and are you on drugs. So please do me a favor and vote in this week's poll. When you're done, underneath it, you'll see a little yellow box. If you click in there, you will go to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And you can leave your opinion. So far, we've got 23 opinions, seven of which are the same, I think. But that's all right. We've got a bunch of opinions out there now, and so please join us there for that. It's a pretty nifty little chance for you to get your information out there and to get your opinion out there. We're back to the phones now, and we're talking to Gene from Gananda, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Thank you very much. My question is that just recently something came into my address book and started sending them out without me sending them out, and I'm getting bombarded with postmaster return, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I called up Roadrunner, and it said that I could clear it using Easy Armor.
Yeah. Well, here's a couple of things, Gene. Are you running an antivirus program?
McAfee.
And you update it?
Yes, I did.
And you're not running version 5?
For some reason, it didn't do anything for me.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on. What could be happening here, if you're sure that your machine is fine, what could be happening is very common nowadays. Someone else who has you in their address book is infected with one of the many viruses that send out spam from that person's machine.
Mm-hmm.
In order not to be traced back to that person's machine, they randomly grab a name out of the address book to pretend to be from. So this other person is sending out spam, and the spam is spoofed, as they call it, to come from you, so you're the one who gets the bounce back.
Oh, okay. I got over 5,000 of those five bounce backs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. That's that's hardly 10 minutes work for a spam program.
Stop this. I've talked to you before. I'm visually impaired.
Change your email address.
I hate to be having something difficult, but what can I use to protect so I...
There's only two things you can do to stop this because it's not happening on your machine.
Right.
Okay.
You can write to everybody you know, explain to them what's going on, and beg them to start running antivirus software.
And spyware program.
Or you can change your email address. And I hate to give you that answer, but that's it because it's not happening on your machine.
Okay.
And to all of the ISPs that are up.
How do I do that?
Nothing.
You can't. It's not on your machine.
Oh.
The other thing, though, I would recommend along with the antivirus is also running both Adaware and Spybot. That will get rid of any spyware on your machine.
And what we'd like to recommend to all the ISPs is to stop sending those bounce messages.
They don't help anymore.
They don't help anymore. And to stop sending, oh, we cleaned the virus. Thank you. We don't need to know that, and it wasn't my computer anyway.
Right.
Because all the messages are spoofed now.
Well, Gene, the other thing you can do is whatever, I don't know what you're using to read your email, but if it has filtering capability.
It's JAWS.
But what? There's got to be a program that JAWS is reading the mail from.
Okay.
JAWS is just your
screen reader.
Screen reader.
So there's got to be some program you run, like Outlook Express or whatever.
Outlook Express, yes.
Okay. If you can set up Outlook Express to dump immediately into the trash any mail that says return, send back, or it comes from Postmaster, that sort of thing, you create a filter that does that, they'll immediately go into your trash and you won't see them in your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really all you can do at this point.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I wish I had a better answer for you, Gene, but that's the way it goes. It's not on his machine.
Right, it's not
no
your
control.
Computer, so you can't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. It's somebody else who has that virus.
Someone you know.
Our next caller is Eric from Victor, New York. Welcome, Eric. What's your question?
Yes, thank you. I have a known alarm for your recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for quite a while.
Yeah.
Recently, I was getting into a habit, about 6 months ago, I was getting into the habit of locking. Doing the internet lock,
right?
That's an added security.
Yeah.
And within the last month, the lock button is unlocking by itself. And as of today, it is not. I can't even. If I hit that little like lock, it will not even go to the lock position.
Have you updated that zone alarm recently?
I did. I was having the problem, so I updated zone alarm within the last week.
All right. The other thing is you are you running Adaware and Spybot?
I just had because of the problem, I thought maybe it was a Spybot, so I did install Spybot within the last week.
You also need Adaware.
Install those first thing before you run them. Check for updates in both programs, and then run them. And I think that might alleviate a lot of your problems.
Let us know what happens. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Back to the phone in a minute, but I told you I would tell you a little bit about a cut-rate version of Windows. Microsoft is offering something called the Windows XP Starter Edition. It includes Microsoft Windows and Office. Now it's called Stripped Down Windows and Stripped Down Office. It seems to include everything we can think of that you'd want. Unfortunately, this is only available in Thailand, and it costs about 1,500 Thai baht, which is approximately $36.
Is it in English or Thai?
Oh, jeez.
Windows, yeah, right. It's Windows and Office for $36.
That sounds like one of those OEM scam emails I get all the time.
No, this is from the news. This is official from Microsoft. They're really doing it. And it's, of course, because the people in Thailand said, you know what, we can do Linux for free.
Mm-hmm. And Thailand is one of the big counterfeit sources, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're fixing that. So if you go to Thailand, you can pick up Windows and Office for $36. Otherwise, you can't. Our next caller is Jeff. Patiently waiting on a cell phone. How are you, Jeff? What's your question?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Got a quick question. I got an Apple computer running OS 9. I have a screen that comes up that says Time Synchronizer Error 41 Restart. Any idea what that is?
Are you running the time synchronizer?
No, not to my knowledge. What had happened is I was downloading a few pictures off a digital camera last week, and next thing I know, the screen pops up, and I can't do anything with my computer.
Well, check the time synchronizer and see if it's running or not, and that's in the date and time control panel. It looks on the Internet to synchronize your clock to the Internet time servers. If you're not connected to the Internet, it can stall your computer while it waits and tries to find the Internet before it gives up. It might be that it's trying to find the wrong address. There are several different time servers you can look at through the internet to synchronize your clock.
Oh, okay.
So that, that's the first thing to see. If it is turned on, turn it off and reboot. And if that doesn't work, try deleting the date and time preferences.
Okay.
And see how that works.
All righty.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next caller, Brian from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Thanks, guys. The question is about SpyBot. I've reinstalled it, and I've installed it on a couple other friends' machines. And, you know, when you first install it, it scans for 5,835.
Right.
And then when I try to update it, it says there's no updates available. And I know last time it was working, it went up to 11,000.
Yeah, what version are you running?
Because
1.3 is no longer being updated. I think that's...
No, 1.2 is,
2
no,
is no longer
yeah,
being
1.3.
updated.
1.3.
Which came out a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so, well...
You got to download the current version.
Let's see what I got. No, I got 1.3. 1.30.12.
Okay. What you might want to do is go into the control panel and under Add Remove Program.
Right.
Uninstall it. Download a fresh copy.
That's exactly what I did.
Yep. Well, I'll try it one more time, but it sounds like you've got a corrupted registry entry in
there. Or better yet, you should also start with Stinger.
Okay.
And see if, in fact, you've got one of those viruses that will prevent these things from running.
Okay, because I downloaded them off the internet on everybody's machine that I did, and it still won't update. So.
We'll look into it. We'll see if there's been a problem with the server, because I updated this morning and everything was fine. We're done. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, who kept us on the straight and narrow. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next Saturday on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.